Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. My name is Stacy, and I am your host. Elgin Browning has worked in the fire and safety industry for decades. He is currently the fire chief and lead instructor for Industrial Rescue Instruction Systems. In this chat, Elgin has a really great point, and it is something that I have never heard before. Okay, so we talk about how some companies are good at identifying their key safety people, yet often don't get around to identifying their backup. Okay, what do we mean about their backup? So what if there's a safety event that lasts a few days and your A team, well, they have to go home and they have to rest. So has your company decided or created a plan for the B team? Are they ready? Listen to this chat to hear Elgin's recommendations. So I'm really excited about this topic about the A team, and then what happens after the A team?
What happens? Well, what we're seeing in emergency response, myself and some other members, we form the Texas Task Force 1 that went to New York and all those places. That all got formed in response to Oklahoma City. But what we're seeing now on events, our experience is events occur, and if they last more than about 2 or 3 days, the A team, the people that are there when it goes on, at some point you got to go home and take a nap.
You're going to have to.
And then so what they have to do is figure out, are they training their replacements? You know, everybody says.
So interesting.
So what we're trying to do.
Is it who's the B team or is the B team ready?
Well, some of them they don't even have, because you see now in the industry, you've reduced the amount of people that work there, cost savings. The computers replace the operator. There's just a big demand to reduce people.
Okay.
They're not having. One of the plants that I worked at for a short time, when they built the plant, there was 1,000 people there. When I went there 10 years later, there was like 300. Because you got automation, you got the safety system, you got all that other. So what we're doing is when we go in and audit a plant or we deal with them, we try to say, okay, your management team, the event occurs right now.
Okay.
You got an HES manager, you got a safety manager, you got all these. Who's the backup to the HES manager? Because he's got to go home at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
To get some sleep, mm-hmm. to be back tomorrow.
So how often does that happen when something, an incident occurs and it's more than 2 or 3 days?
Well, it depends on the facility. It depends on the magnitude. You know, there's a lot of safety systems, but it could be like a hurricane event. We tell them all the time, you know, if you're going to let most of your people go, who's going to stay and how long can you work them? So on the task force, we have a 10-day rule. When we deploy, we basically deploy for 10 days.
Okay.
That way, because by that time, you're physically, you're mentally, you just got to figure out how long can I work 24 hours a day?
So are you finding that organizations do not have a B team or some like in place?
We're finding that organizations are not setting up for an event that's going to last 2 or 3 days or 4 days or whatever. They've got some people, but what we recommend is when you have small events, let somebody be in charge that's not normally in charge.
Interesting.
Because then you're grooming them and you're training them and you're getting them go. You know, in fire departments, we see it all the time that us as fire chiefs or whatever, we try not to take command at a scene. We let a captain or a lieutenant or somebody run the scene. Of course, they get nervous, but say, no, you're fine. You're doing fine. I'm here to support you.
That's
this, that, and the
so
other.
So good.
But
yes.
They need to know what to do when you're not there, because you may be in Corpus Christi. You may be somewhere else.
Right.
You know, yesterday we had a little incident. You got to train your replacements in the non-emergency situations.
Yes.
So that they know, have a little confidence and know what to do. So a lot of times it's hard for people to understand that, because several plants we deal with, they just don't have the people. You know, it's a 15-person plan or a 20-person plan, a little small company. We're saying, I don't know your solution to your problem, but I'm telling you, if you have an incident that shuts you down for a few days or whatever, y'all are going to need to figure out how you're going to work at night.
So even if it's a mid-size, it seems like it's a great idea to have people do things that maybe they normally wouldn't do. Because sometimes we don't want them to do it because this is my job and I have a big ego.
Some people get territorial. They get territorial in their three-ring binder. They want to stay within their three-ring binder.
Absolutely.
But you see, like, when you have an event at your facility, if it's in the off hours, because God has a particular sense of humor. He always does stuff in the middle of the night, on weekends.
Isn't that weird?
It's weird.
Bizarre.
Hurricanes come ashore at night because of the weather.
They don't come when the time is right.
No, But you got to figure out, okay, let's empower these people to make decisions up to a point. Mm. And then when finance gets here or HR gets here, then they'll figure out what we're going to do and what we're going to do. So what you got to do is you got to stress the system so that they'll see their weaknesses. And then they can come in and say, okay, well, we got one lady in HR. We got to figure out somebody else that can send out a text to do whatever. So it's just, shooting water on the fire and all, that's one component and all that other stuff. But then who's going to order food for these people? And then there's a big rule in emergency response. If you order food, you better be ordering porta potties and toilet paper. Or as we call it in the FEMA system, portable hazmat disposal stations. Because that's the thing. People have to be supported. Just like you got to order fuel for the fire truck and this, that, and the other. You got to support the people. And people are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful assets. But sometimes they're needy, whiny. You got to take care of them. I mean, they're just people.
Yeah. So you did you learn this the hard way? Because I know that there's a story in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Just serving the time. Like I said, we started whenever Oklahoma City occurred. A bunch of us just went up there to help because we were kind of, in the leadership thing and stuff. And then Task Force One. And then, like I said, working with the International Fire Chief. Just I've had some fabulous, fabulous opportunities and taken advantage of it and done a lot of things wrong. And seen stuff done right, seen stuff done wrong, this, that, and the other. But being in the municipal world and the industrial world, kind of a blend of that, you kind of understand both sides. It lets me kind of relate to them. I can't solve every problem in their plant, but this is something you may want to think about.
So how long have you been a chief?
Well, I started in 1979 as a little old firefighter and rose up through the ranks. And then in 05, I got asked to go start a fire department, just start it from scratch. And so I did that for a little while, and then industry offered a dollar more an hour, so.
So how did you get into safety then?
Well, it's emergency response is all safety.
Right.
Yeah, it's all part of that, and then just got hired and offered different opportunities. And
so you can use kind of a different part of your skills in this way.
Three degrees, 3.5 degrees, whatever. I've always liked doing stuff. I've had the knack or God gifted me with the fact that I can sometimes look at a problem, kind of figure out a solution pretty quick. Yes. I don't get frozen up very often. It may not be totally correct, but at least we're going to be going forward.
Yeah, I call it imperfect action. Doing something, and then you can pivot from something,
I had an old fire chief or whatever one time. Chief Wormley used to fuss at me about what we're doing. Make a decision, say no, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, chief, if we'll quit putting water on this house, it'll go out. Okay? I don't know what else to do, because apparently what we're doing, you don't like.
Right.
So you need to tell me what you want to do. And like I said, my solution is obtained. You want quit putting water on it. It'll burn out.
So I'll put your contact information up for people to find if they have any more questions on this.
Be fine. We do. Like I said, I go around. Sometimes companies have me just come in to talk motivation wise.
Yes.
About that's VPP. Like I said yesterday, we did how you can take firefighting principles and apply it to a business crisis.
Love that.
And then today the talk was when your worst case scenario lasts more than 3 days, because people, you can work on adrenaline. Everybody says, oh, whatever. About 12, 14, 15 hours, you can do it. But after that, the problem is you get mental fatigue. Mm. And mental mistakes are a lot worse in emergency response than physical mistakes.
So how long should you keep your first crew on?
Well, you see, you need to plan that if the event, say, occurred right now at 12:30 in the afternoon, they've been up since what, 6 o'clock?
Right.
Maybe. They've already been up. They've already been up.
You're right. I didn't just wake up. You're right.
You're right, right. They've already been up.
You're right. Okay.
So we don't know mentally fatigued, this, that, and the other. We don't know where they're at. But if we think this event's going to go to tomorrow, who's going to be here at 5 o'clock? It can't be night crew. They don't know anything's going on. We got to get all this knowledge out of your head into her head.
Right. Right.
Well, that's going to take about an hour. That's going to take. So then, and when you go home, say we send you home at 6 o'clock and say come back in the morning, you're probably not going to go right to sleep. You're going to be wound up. Mm-hmm. You're going to be all this other stuff. So, you know, you're saying, well, maybe we can start the transition now and try, our goal is to get you out the gate so you can come back tomorrow. And then we got to make you promise that you won't be texting her and calling her and saying, hey, we need to do this.
Right, and you're going nuts.
You're
going,
supposed
don't
to.
Don't forget.
You're supposed to be rehabbing. You're supposed to.
Okay.
But companies, they're not looking at that. Because, you know, even when we do turnarounds, when they do maintenance activities, they plan all that out. Well, emergency response, we don't have that ability. We have to react, and the plan is, what are we doing in the next hour? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the plan is, what are we doing tonight? What are we doing tomorrow? It's materials. It's just a different mode. And what we try to do in drills and pre-planning is inject that stress.
Okay.
And say, you've ordered water, you've ordered pallets of water. It's not going to be here for 4 hours. Well, we need it now. It's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Well, what are we supposed to give firefighters? Your management. Figure it out. Well, when we're drinking Cokes, do we want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then we expose those weaknesses in the system.
Mm, okay.
And so then whatever. And you can't answer every problem. When problems occur like a hurricane, everybody has all these pre-existing contracts mm-hmm. set up. But the companies that spend a lot of money with them, that's who's going to get their stuff first. Mm-hmm. If you're a little small company.
It's not happening.
And they ain't going to open Walmart for you. Because nobody's, yeah.
How do you test this? So you're saying the system.
What we do is we come in and we say, okay, this event occurs right now at 12:30. What's today? Wednesday?
I have no idea.
Today's okay. Wednesday at 12:30. So we say, okay, the event occurred Wednesday at 12:30. You're now Thursday at 6 p.m. And I set the game clock for Thursday. This has occurred. This has occurred. This has occurred. And here's the 30 problems we're facing now in day two.
This is so good. What a great, it's like, what a great drill.
Yep. So, you know, it's like if you did a football game and you go straight to the third quarter.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. All those decisions are gone.
Yes.
This is where you're at, and this is the problems we got. Everybody's been tired. And sometimes people get a little touchy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A little fatigued, uh-huh. a little this, that, and the other. So we just try to induce stress. And that's how I do it, is I move the game clock on them real quick.
That's so good.
I have a little thing on the wall
so
that
smart.
I can make this.
And now
make
they're
the
freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Their
yeah.
heart rate's going up. Oh,
and
no.
I have these cards. I give them 3x5 index. They go, oh, Chief Brownie's coming with a 3x5 index card. Yeah, here's one.
Oh, my gosh.
You got somebody hurt. They're on the way to the hospital. Okay, well, now HR needs to figure out, well, who was hurt? Who's going to the hospital with them? Do we need to call their family? You just throw problems out there and say, oh, don't worry about the fire. The fire brigade's doing all that.
Yeah.
This is all the other stuff you got to worry about.
So good. Well, I will give everyone your contact information.
And we try. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I apologize I didn't get by sooner.
No,
or whatever,
this is great. What great information. You're so passionate about what you do. And I think it's just such a, I've never heard anybody talk on this. So okay. I think it's really, really good. And yep. I think it'll really help a lot of people.
All right. Well, I appreciate you letting me share with
Absolutely.
You. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.